Last week on the podcast, I shared with you guys all about cognitive behavioral therapy and how you guys can use it as a practical tool to help overcome those negative thoughts, feelings, and emotions that get you into those tailspins, how it works so well combined with the subconscious tools to help you combat those negative thoughts and feelings and all that stuff when it comes up. And I also mentioned to you guys about cognitive distortions, the things that cause those negative thoughts and feelings. And today I'm going to dive into exactly what cognitive distortions are, how they affect us, how they create these negative thoughts and feelings, and how understanding these actually takes away their power so that you can move past them, start up leveling your mindset, feeling good more often, and start manifesting some amazing things into your life and business. So let's go dive in. Welcome to Master Your Mindset, the podcast where I unlock the secrets to manifesting your dream life. I'm your host, Jen Goodfriend, subconscious mindset coach and freedom alchemist, and I'm here to inspire, empower, and when needed, give you that gentle kick in the ass. Join me on a journey through the world of mindset, money, and manifestation. We're talking financial freedom, time freedom, and living the life you've always dreamt of. Get ready for positivity, fun, and plenty of aha moments. It's time to rewrite your story and manifest your wildest dreams. So let's dive in and start mastering your mindset. Are you ready? Because I am. Hey, ladies, and welcome back to another episode. I am so happy you guys are here. Just to preface, if you guys haven't listened to last week's episode, I highly recommend you listen to that one first, just so you have a bit of a basic understanding of why we want to understand these, but it isn't a necessity. You guys can listen to this one first and then go back and listen to the second one, but these two episodes kind of tie together. So first, I want to talk with you guys about, you know, what is cognitive distortions, because you're probably not understanding this and you're like, Jen, what the hell are you talking about? And I didn't know what these were either till, you know, I got into my love of psychology and down that rabbit hole and then eventually doing my psych degree. And this opened my eyes to so many things in my life, in my mindset, and why I was the way I was. And I hope that it helps you guys as well. So just so you guys know what I'm talking about when I say cognitive distortions, and these are what we call these internal mental filters or biases, and they increase our misery, they fuel our anxiety, and make us feel bad about ourselves. So think of it like a filter. When we have these biases, our cognitive distortions, our mind puts our thoughts and events in our life and the things that happen through these filters. And these are negative filters. So say something happens to you, your mind is going to filter it through these negative filters, which are going to create these overwhelming thoughts, feelings, and emotions. It continually is processing information and it's using these to process that information, just like our limiting beliefs. You know what, when we feel things like, oh, I'm not good enough, you're going to be focusing on that feeling. You're going to be focusing on, oh, I'm not good enough, I'm not good enough, even though you have tons of evidence over here that says you are. Because your brain is so focused and so programmed by those limiting beliefs, all you can focus on is that I'm not good enough. And these cognitive distortions actually help create those limiting beliefs and work with the limiting beliefs and vice versa. You know, limiting beliefs cause the cognitive distortions. These cognitive distortions, you know what, re-up these limiting beliefs and help you find that evidence. So think of it like that. These cognitive distortions are helping you find evidence your mind is looking for, that everything is bad and horrible and this, you know, limiting belief is true. So these are going to help you find that. So I'm going to go through with you guys today the most common cognitive distortions. And I want you guys just to pay attention to which ones feel most like you. And you may have one of them, you may have multiples. I found about two or three of them really described me. And just by understanding them, you can understand and recognize it. Because remember, there's power in understanding how our mind works. And just by recognizing that, oh, this is just a cognitive distortion like Jen talked about. This is just a natural unconscious way of me processing things and thinking about things. And by taking that unconscious and recognizing it, you're making it conscious so that you can do the CBT exercises like we talked about last week. So let's dive into what these are. And the first one is overgeneralization. And this is making a conclusion based on a single piece of negative evidence or coincidence. So an example of this is you have one person say that you charge too much for your work. So you think you charge too much and everyone thinks you're expensive and they're not going to want to work with you. See how that happens? Like, there are always going to be people that are going to say you're too much, like your prices are too much. There's going to be people that say you don't charge enough. But you take that one thing that one person said and you're like, oh my God, that person thinks it. So everybody thinks it. And I have to change my prices. I have to lower my prices. I have to add more. Blah, blah, blah. So we're over generalizing. Or one person says to you, I don't really feel like working with you. I just don't feel like you're the right fit. And you're like, oh my God, nobody's going to want to work with me. I'm not a good coach and that person didn't like me. So nobody's going to like me. Why am I even doing this? You guys get the picture. This was one of my favorites. And still, sometimes I admit I still get stuck in this, but I'm getting better. It doesn't happen very often, but this was one of my favorites. My other favorite was number two, all or nothing thinking. And this is where you feel like things must be perfect or a specific way, or you're a failure or it's wrong. You think in extremes. It's either black or it's white. For example, I only got 5 new clients this month and not the 10 I had last month. I am such a failure. I will never be able to get more than 10 clients. This is never going to work. Why do I even do this? I'm done. See what I mean? It's like that all or nothing, like either I'm making the money I'm making or I'm not. And if I am making the money, it's great. It's wonderful. And if I don't get anywhere near that, or even if I'm close to it, it isn't hitting that goal. It's not good enough. I can't do this. Again, this was one of my favorites. It's like throughout my life, this was one I really had as a coping mechanism due to the trauma I had as a child. I really was that people pleaser, that perfectionist, because that's the only way I felt like I was worthy or deserving. And so if you struggle with perfectionism or worthiness, you're probably an all or nothing thinker like I was. And as you work through those worthiness blocks and not feeling good enough, this one quite often will go away. Which is good, because this all or nothing thinking in business is going to drive you mad. It's going to cause you to quit. And I do not want to see this. So be really careful about this all or nothing thinking. And I'm hoping just by talking about it today, you're going to recognize it and you're not going to let it derail your business, because it truly can. Then number three, we're talking about mental filtering. And this is you take one small event and you focus on it exclusively, blocking out anything else. So say all of a sudden you've been getting, working with some clients, even if it's not a lot, but you've been getting them great results. And then you have one client who's been getting results, but not as amazing as everyone else. And you are focusing on that one client. It's like, oh my God, why can I only get me? Mediocre results. You know, maybe I'm not as good of a coach as I thought I was, or, you know, I can't do all this. And you know what, maybe I'm just not as good enough. Or you focus on all the potential clients who have said no to your offer, even though there are tons who have said yes and paid to work with you. So this is where you are only focusing on the negative and you forget about the positive. It's like you just can't expand your mind out and think about that. Then number four is you're discounting the positive. And this involves ignoring or invalidating the good things that have happened to you. So for example, you have a successful launch and you sign 12 new clients, but you brush off any praise and say it was just luck, nothing to do with all the hard work you put in. Like, you know what, it happened. And you know what, I didn't really do anything really amazing. And you know what, it's all luck. And you know what, I don't know what I did. You know what, I don't know how I did this. You're discounting it. If you're discounting praise, you are discounting the positive. And so many of us women struggle with this. So if someone comes up to you and says, oh my God, like, you look so amazing and you look so good today. And and you're like, oh my God, no, my hair is a mess, this outfit is horrible, that's you discounting the positive. You are brushing off any compliment, any good thing that happened to you. And what this does is it gets us stuck into the negative energy. Because remember, everything's about energy, manifesting, having the business and life you want, mindset, it's all about energy. And if you're constantly discounting the positive, you're literally telling the universe, hey, I don't want this. Hey, I can't handle this. You know, send me bad things, not good things, because you're always focusing on the negative. So this is one you guys really want to notice and start working on, even if it's something as simple as learning to accept praise. Then the next one is jumping to conclusions. And there's two ways this can happen. One is mind reading, and it's when you think someone is going to react in a specific way or feel they are thinking a specific thought, even when they haven't said anything. So for example, you tell a client or potential client your price and they are silent for a moment. So you think, oh no, they're thinking you're too expensive. I can't do this. So you jump in and you're, before they even say anything, they're like, you're like, oh, but I can discount it for you. You, I'm not charging the full amount. You know, for today only, you get it for half price. And I admit I've done this in the past when I started my business, but you're just jumping to that conclusion because there was that moment of silence, which there normally is, of that person just thinking about it, they're processing. And instead of you allowing that silence to sit there for them to make that decision, you jump in feeling like, oh my God, they're just not wanting to work with me and I don't want them not to work with me. So I'm going to discount myself because it's a price issue and it has to be a price issue. So I'm just going to get out in front of it. When it's really not, and they just need a time to think. The other way is fortune telling, and it's when you predict how an event will happen to prevent yourself from trying something new or difficult. So say you've been invited to speak in an event and you talk yourself out of it because you're like, oh no, you know what, I'm just going to get up there and people aren't going to like me and they're not going to like what I have to say. So why even bother? Because it's just going to be a bomb. So why even do it? And you're just talking yourself out of those things because you're thinking worst case scenario. And this is really big for those that fear success and fear failure, because we're so worried about failure, or we're so worried about succeeding and what will happen and what people might think, that it's better off to just talk ourselves out of it before we even try, because it's a lot easier to not try and say, oh, but I didn't fail, than it is to try and chance failing, even though failing is part of business. So the jumping to conclusion is our way of protecting ourselves. The next one is magnification. And this is when you put lots of focus and attention on the problems and negative while minimizing the good. So this is where you can only think about all the negative. So for example, I had 10 people unsubscribe from my email list this month. I can't believe this. What did I do wrong? Even though you gained 50 new subscribers. So you gained way more than you lost, but you're so focused on the negative side of it that you can't see the good. So a lot of people are very common about this, especially in business. I see this in my clients all the time. Oh my God, Jen, people like unsubscribed, and oh my God, I didn't, you know, that person didn't sign with me. And it's like, yeah, but those other two did. Yeah, but that one person didn't. So stop focusing on the things that didn't happen and start celebrating the things that did. And this is why I love gratitude. And if magnification is an issue for you, start having a daily gratitude practice, because it's going to help you shift that focus from what didn't happen to the things that did and start showing you that gratitude. The next, and this is one I struggle with and one I hear from many women, and this is those should statements. And that's thinking about the things you should or must do. I'm doing must do in air quotes. So for an example, I should have worked yesterday even though I was sick. Being sick is no excuse. I should have worked any day. And if you hear yourself ever saying, I should do X, Y, Z, I want you to stop yourself, because that should is a belief, and probably a limiting belief, that someone has told you something in your life that makes you feel like you should do this. Like, oh, I should keep my house spotless, or I should act this way in business. I should be professional. I should dress up. That is bullshit. If you're saying should, it's something you probably don't want to do, and you're only doing it because you feel like you have to. And I don't want you guys feeling like you have to. The next one is labeling. And this is when you make judgments about yourself or others based on behaviors, and you use those negative labels. For example, I didn't hit my goal this month. I am such a loser and a failure. See how one little thing is making you put a label on yourself. Just like for me, if I didn't get straight A's in school because I didn't feel worthy, I didn't feel smart enough, I would label myself as, oh, Jen, you're being so dumb. Like, Jen, you are dumb. You know, you should have got a straight A. You should have got that grade. You shouldn't have, you know, got a B. And it was like putting those things on myself, like, oh, you're dumb. Or another label I used on myself was, you're so ugly. Wasn't true, but I always felt that way because of things people had said to me, to beliefs I had about myself, because I felt so unworthy, unlovable, that I wasn't good enough. I'd put this label of, well, Jen, you're just ugly. You're the, you know what, you're the good friend. You're not the pretty one. You're the ugly one, kind of thing. So it's using those labels to point things out that you don't want to be pointing out. So if you find yourself labeling yourself, I'm dumb, I'm fat, I'm ugly, I'm worthless, whatever it is, stop that right now, because it is not helpful. It is not getting you what you want. And it comes from those limiting beliefs from crap someone else has told you and is not true. The next one is personalization and blame. And this is when you blame yourself or someone else for a situation that happened, even though there are lots of moving parts. For example, it's my kid's fault. I missed my deadline because they were just being too noisy and I couldn't concentrate on my work. Or you blame yourself when it really wasn't your fault. For example, I know the client changed the project to the last minute before the deadline, but I still should have had it done on time. Like, even though they, you know, dropped the ball with an hour to go, I still should have been able to do it. It's still, I can't believe I failed that. I can't believe I didn't get done on time. So you're either blaming someone else or you're blaming yourself. But the thing is if we blame, we don't give ourselves a, you know, actionable way of fixing it, because by setting blame, we're saying that this is done. There's nothing I can do about it. Whereas instead you go, how can I fix this next time? How can I make this better? By taking away that personalization and blame, you can actually fix it. But once you've set blame in place, there's no fixing it. There's nothing you can do because you feel like it's done and over with. So then the next one is a double standard, and you're probably like, yep, know all about this one. And this is when you hold yourself to a higher standard than everyone else. And as women, we are really, really good at this. It's okay if our husband takes time off after work. It's okay if he comes home and relaxes. It's okay if the kids don't do work. It's okay if our clients, you know what, can relax and take time. It's okay if other coaches are only working 20 hours a week, but we can't do those things. So for example, you telling your client they need to schedule a day off every week to re-energize themselves, yet you're working 24/7. Who here is shaking their head? Because we all have double standards. I think every person has this at some point, especially us women. So ask yourself, what am I telling other people it's okay to do that I'm not telling myself it's okay to do? Am I doing all the work and not letting others help me because it's okay for them to relax, but I can't? So think about that one, because this is a big one. And now, ladies, we've only got two more. We are almost done. I hope you guys are getting some aha moments from this and starting to notice some thought patterns, because by noticing them, you're taking away that power. So number 11, and this was always one of my favorites, catastrophizing. And this is where you expect the worst in everything. This is my mom's favorite. As a very highly anxious woman, this is one that I seen growing up all the time and that I took on and loved to be a part of my world. And an example of this is you have an up and coming launch in your business. It is going to be a big failure. No one is going to show up, and I have to put all this time and effort in for nothing. Why am I even doing this? It's just going to be a failure. You know, the sky is falling, because we can get into that. And by expecting the worst in everything, remember, everything is about energy. If we expect things to be a failure. If we expect the worst, we are going to get what we think. Because remember, our brain is always listening. And if we're talking about how it's going to fail, it's not going to work, our brain goes, oh, she doesn't want this to work for some reason. Okay, let's make sure it doesn't work because that's what she wants. That's what you're giving your brain for programs. That's what you're putting out in the universe. So of course, it's not going to work, which then reinforces that belief of, see, everything works out horribly. Everything's not going to work out. See. And you provide that evidence, which becomes a negative loop, which causes more catastrophizing, which causes more negative things in your life. And we want to end that loop. Just like all these other cognitive distortions, we want to end these in their spot, which then gets us to number 12, the last one. And this is the magical thinking. And this is when you think things will be better when. Okay, you're like, okay, Jen, yeah, I think all of us have struggled with this one. It's like, oh, when my business is making six figures, when, you know what, when I have all the clients I want, when I quit my full-time job. This is when you've taken another course, lost some weight, quit your job, and you feel like things will get better when. So an example of this is, once my business makes six figures, life will be so much easier and all my problems are just going to magically disappear. Money will not be an issue. Getting clients will not be an issue. Everything will just be wonderful and magical if and when X happens. But we all know that is not the case, because things are always going to happen, but we're going to learn how to deal with them. So that magical thinking, and this is a really big detriment in the world of manifestation, and I've talked about this before, is one of the biggest downfalls and one of the biggest myths that stops people from manifesting the things they truly desire is this feeling of, when I manifest X, Y, Z, things will be so much better. My life will be better. I'll be happy when. But the thing is we need to be happy now. We have to know we're worthy now. We have to believe this is available to us now in order to get the things that we think are going to make us happy. So it actually works in the exact opposite of what we think. So we're stuck in this magical thinking of loop of, I will have it all and I'll feel better and I can do it all when, then we're actually blocking ourselves from having those things we desire. So we have to move past this magical thinking and get into the feeling of, I'm happy now. All these things are coming to me. I know they are, and it's just going to work out. So hopefully you guys have got some aha moments while listening to this. And I hope you guys, as you were listening, things that popped up, I hope you wrote those down. Because being aware of these things, understanding how your mind is working and these cognitive distortions of how your mind sucks you into those negative thought patterns will help you to overcome this. Because if you realize that you tend to overgeneralize, you're going to recognize that coming up. You're going to be like, oh, that's just overgeneralization thinking. I'm just stuck in this loop. Oh, I know this. I can work through it. And that works really well when paired with last week's cognitive behavioral therapy exercise, because when you're starting to think about, you know what, why am I feeling this way? What's happening? Well, you can be like, oh, it's just an overgeneralization. I'm just stuck in this old thought pattern. It's okay. I don't need to be. I know, this is just happening because it's just the way my mind works right now. And by catching it and stopping it, you're actually giving your mind new programs, because you're working through that process of, I don't want this. This is how I want to feel instead. There's no proof to back this up. And then instead, I want to believe this. So working with these cognitive distortions, you're going to stop them from being second nature to you. You're going to recognize them. You're going to stop them in their tracks, and you're going to start noticing that your positive thinking improves. You're going to feel less negative. You're going to feel more positive. And with mindset, when you start feeling more positive, you're going to raise your energetic vibration. You're going to start manifesting more. Good things are going to start happening, which is going to raise your vibration even more, and even more good things are going to happen. And then it's like this positive snowball rather than the negative snowball. So if you guys need to go back, re-listen to this episode, keep track of which ones are feeling, you know, the most charged for you, to really think about, is that me? Is that not? And then pair it with last week's episode to be able to work through this. And if you guys are wanting, I have this as a PDF. I will give it to you guys for free. No opt-in required. Just send me a message on Instagram. Let me know you're wanting this and I will send it over to you so you guys have it as a reference. And like I said, having it in, you know, with last week's worksheet, having them side by side, I literally keep extra worksheets from last week. I have them printed out and I have them filed away in my file folder. So when I need them, I can just pull one out. I pull out this sheet and I just work through it and I help work myself through it. Again, I don't need it as much anymore because I've done so much work in the subconscious and I've done this conscious work for so many years that these cognitive distortions aren't really a thing for me anymore. And that's the upside of the mindset work, is these stop becoming an issue. You work through those. Like I said, I used to be an overgeneralizer. I really don't anymore. Same with that all or nothing thinking. Very rarely does that come up because I've worked through reprogramming my subconscious mind so that it's not an issue anymore. I don't have those underlying beliefs and limiting beliefs that tell me that I'm not good enough, which then creates that all or nothing thinking. So this is a great tool to pair with those subconscious tools to start changing your mindset, to shift it, to start creating that life and business you truly desire. So if you want help with this, feel free to reach out to me. I'm here to help. Otherwise, I'll see you guys back here again for another episode next week. Looking for more magical tips and tricks to help you manifest your dream life? Then head over to Instagram and give me a follow. And I'd love it even more if you took a moment and sent me a DM while you're there and just said hi. It makes my big old heart so happy to chat with my listeners. You can find the link in the show notes.